Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Hey guys, and welcome to Energy and Radiance Radio. My name is Catherine Huber, Queen Sparkle Sitter of America, and I'm a life energy coach. We here at Energy and Radiance Radio want to bring you the most inspiring, the most energetic 60 minutes of radio on air. Weekly guests and topics are going to have you so energized, so pumped, your inner radiance is going to come spewing out. And this week, guys, is no exception, especially since we're simultaneously streaming live on Facebook Live as well as Periscope. We got all this business going on, and we have one of the most brilliant women on the show today to talk about a topic that might not be always comfortable to talk about, but it's super important. But before we get to Denitha, I know that you guys are trying to start off 2017 with a focus on your health and wellness, so I am thrilled to introduce to you an amazing program that will help you with your balance, your mindfulness, and your health. My friend, Iron Joe Fit, is offering an amazing online Tai Chi course that will have that you've got to check out. You have got to check this course out. And of course, it's Queen Sparkle Spitting approved, of course. And so what I want you guys to do is head over to bit.ly/ERRadioTaiChi and sign up today. Now, I'm honored to have a wonderful, amazing guest on the show today. She works with female entrepreneurs to grow their income and add zeros to their savings account without cutting out the good stuff. From the lovely city of San Francisco, her passion is helping women live their life to the fullest, and we can't expect to live the life of our dreams without cash, without cold, hard cash. She has been featured in the Huffington Post as well as on Susie Orman and was named in the top 40 under 40 accountants by CPA Practice Advisors. And if that was not enough, she was also named Next Generation Accountant by QuickBooks and Business Influencer by Xero. This woman knows her business, people. She knows her business, and she's going to help you with yours. So I'm so excited to have her on. And honestly, Denitha, from the moment I saw you on our live call, I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to have her on. Everything you said comes in line with everything that I believe in, and I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for coming on today. Thanks for dealing with the technical glitches. Welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh, Katie, thank you so much for having me and for such a lovely introduction. I am super stoked to be talking to you and sharing some wisdom, any nuggets I can give to your community.
Absolutely. We're excited to have you on. I mean, we all need to know about this topic. And I really truly think that it's not an easy topic for most people to talk about. So I'm so honored that you would come on the show. And guys, we do have an offer. I want to throw this out. In addition to that Tai Chi course, we're going to be talking about a free access to a 30-minute training with Denitha. All you have to do is head over to www.moneyisenergy.denitha, and that's DANETHADOE.com, to gain free access to this 30-minute training. We're also taking call-ins, friends. So if you have questions on Periscope, if you have questions on Facebook, y'all know how to do that. You type that in, and I'll try to catch your questions. If you're wanting to ask a question to either I or Denitha, please call 646-716-7979, and that's 646-716-7979. Now, I'm going to ask the first question because it's my show and I do what I want, and I'm going to ask, what are the top three financial issues that your clients ask you about, Denitha? Like, what are the three things that really stand, that you feel like is very common for people to ask?
Yes, great question, Katie. And you're so right. Money is one of those taboo topics. It's kind of like sex. No one wants to talk about it, but it's all a part of our lives. So the three main financial issues, challenges that I hear most often are inconsistent income, especially if you're an entrepreneur. It's really hard to know what you're going to earn each month. So I hear a lot about that. How do I deal with inconsistent income? Also, unexpected bills. Maybe you have a pet and they had to get some medical work done just out of the blue. How do you deal with situations like that? And I also hear, you know, Denitha, my finances are a hot mess. I don't know where to start with getting it organized. I don't even know what organized finances look like. And I just don't even know where to start. So those are the three main issues that I tend to hear most often.
I can really relate to, well, all of them, but that third one, especially for people who are entrepreneurs, coaches like myself, it seems like the type of person that's going to be an entrepreneur has that kind of, like, maybe they're not as number, and I don't want to generalize and like anger anybody, but it seems like a lot of entrepreneurs are creative people. And so they don't have those skills that keep things organized. Am I right on that one?
Well, you're absolutely right that entrepreneurs do have a more creative approach to life. Entrepreneurs, you have to be able to dream bigger or dream out of the box or structure that was given to you. So absolutely, entrepreneurs tend to be bent more towards the creative side. When it comes to money, to be fair, I as an accountant, other financial experts, we were also not taught how to manage our money growing up. None of us were given that education, you know, through grade school, through high school, most of us through college, graduated after university with student loans and no plan on how to pay that off. So yes, entrepreneurs don't necessarily have financial skill sets, but it's not your fault because you were never taught how to manage money. And it is a skill set that anyone can learn. It takes some effort and intention and focus, but absolutely, it's easy to master.
I love that you said that it's not just, this is a problem that everybody has. And I think when people realize that you're dealing with something that everybody else deals with, it feels like it's not as taboo. It's easier to approach a coach or approach your finances when you realize that other people are in the same situation as you. So I'm so glad that you said that. So, okay, now that we've kind of laid that platform of, we might not have been taught this in our lifetime, you know, with our schooling and with growing up, when is the best time that we should invest in learning how to deal with our finances? And how do we do that even if we have a ton of debt? Like, how do we make it justify, I guess is the word that I'm looking for, how do we justify investing in that? Even if we might have, you know, credit card debt or student loans or, you know, other types of a home loan?
Great question. And my answer to that is as soon as possible. And here's why, especially if you're an entrepreneur, the very nature of being an entrepreneur is that you are asking for money in exchange for your services. It's a mindset shift from being a traditional employee where you can expect a salary payment every 2 weeks. Maybe you negotiate for a higher salary once a year, maybe every couple of years, but your salary is pretty much dictated by someone else. When you step into the realm of being an entrepreneur, you have to become comfortable with money. You have to know how to price your services or your products so that you're not only covering your expenses, your monthly personal expenses, your business expenses, but also setting yourself up so that you can thrive and really be able to enjoy life. Exactly what you teach, Katie, you know, joy and radiance in life. Part of being able to step into that space of being present in every moment and enjoying life from an ecstatic place is not having to be stressed about money, not having to be anxious about paying your bills. And the way to get around that and to overcome that is to educate yourself on finances as soon as possible. If you have debt, that's the best time to start investing in financial education, because the only way you're going to be able to get out of debt is if you are comfortable talking about money, asking for your worth when you're charging for your services and products, and creating a plan to get out of debt.
Right. Absolutely. And that was something that really spoke to me when I was watching some of your, some of the clients that you had worked with. You have videos up on your website of people who have worked with you diligently. And I think the cool thing is, so when I think of a financial planner or a financial coach or someone to get my finances organized, when I think about going to them, I have this innate fear, you know, like it just, because I feel like it's going to be all money and it's not going to be something that I really kind of call to me. And that's why I love what some of your clients said about you and their experience. It wasn't just about the money that they were able to save. And it wasn't just about getting their finances right and charging the right amount. It was also about your approach in really realizing that they're worth the money, or they need to charge what they are worth. And really, it seemed to me that maybe some of your clients that you've already worked with weren't necessarily charging their worth or didn't know how to go about it because they didn't believe in themselves enough to charge that. And so it's multidimensional. And I love that about your style.
Thank you. Thank you. I truly believe that financial freedom is a journey of self-love. And so when you're, and that what I mean by that is when we're talking about money, we're not just talking about the actual cash, the dollar bills in your hand or the plastic cards in your wallet. There's an emotional attachment to money or a disattachment to money. There's sometimes a level of dis-ease when you think about your bills or think about what's in your bank account or not in your bank account. And so when you apply financial freedom as a journey of self-love, there's going to be elements of anxiety that we need to work through, self-forgiveness. For women, a lot of times their relationship with their mom has been holding them back, and maybe, you know, elements of anger or distrust that's come about from that relationship. And as daughters, you know, we all experience that to a certain, on various levels. And so, yes, when I work with my clients, the ultimate goal, yes, is to add zeros to your savings account, get you to a place where you're not just financially stable, but also thriving. But through that process, there is emotional healing that goes along with it.
So you're not just trying to heal somebody's P&L or somebody's bank account. You're also trying to, you know, kind of figure out what their relationship was with money. And I would agree with you that that is a dimension in life that people need to really harness so that they can be healthy. I mean, it affects your health. Your finances affect your health. So what is the number one problem that people face when dealing with financial issues? What do you think that is?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, the number one issue that I've seen is that for those of us that consider ourselves creative, we're trying to make a system, fit ourselves into a system that doesn't work for us. The system was not created for us. And what I mean by that is, you know, I'll give a great example. My most recent client who just started working with me, she's in a 9-to-5 job and she wants to start a business. And she's super organized with her finances. Like when I asked her questions about how much debt do you have, she knew it down to the penny. And when we were looking through her student loan debt, we realized on the call together that she's made about $10,000, let's say, worth of payments on her $70,000 student loan bill. You would think that her student loan bill should be $60,000, right? $70,000 minus $10,000, $60,000. No, her student loan bill is still hovering right around the $69,000, $68,000 mark. And at the rate she's going, with her current salary, she will never be able to pay that off, probably be able to pay that off over the next 30 years, but not in a time period that she wants to be able to pay it off. And the reason that she's in this situation is because she was taught, graduate from school, you assume student loan debt, you get a regular 9-to-5 job, and then you focus on paying down your debt. You don't focus on savings. You don't focus on the fun things in life. You just focus on paying down debt. And if she were to follow that system, it would take her another 30 years to pay that off. And so the number one challenge that I see is that as creative entrepreneurs, as heart-centered entrepreneurs, the system doesn't work for you the way it's been set up. And so you have to learn how to make money work for yourself. And the only way to do that is to stop avoiding it and approach it head on and create a system that works for you.
I love that. And I think that also plays into one of my really strong beliefs is we're all different. You know, not everything, not every specific program works for us just like it would work for somebody else. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that. When you are working with a client, what are the top three things that can help them with their financial situation? So we know what the system is really not helping them to solve their financial issues and obtain financial freedom. What are three things that people do, that people can do to kind of get out of that?
Yeah. So the very first step is to really get clear on why, what your why is. You know, do you want to make $100,000 this year? Awesome. Now, tell me why that's so important to you. Is that because you want to travel more? Is that because you want to spend more time with friends and family? Is that because you know that if you reach 100,000, you would have, you would feel like you can creatively express yourself to the fullest? You know, really get clear on your why. That's the very first step. And then the next step is to organize your finances. Now that you're clear on why you want to, you know, become financially abundant or thrive financially, now you need to know exactly where you stand financially. So you can use a simple spreadsheet. There are easy apps out there that like Mint, I Love Zero. There are lots of different apps for business or personal finances to help you get clear on where you stand financially. And then the next step is to set a goal. So once you're clear on why you want to achieve whatever goal, you're clear on where you stand, the next step is to set a goal to reach, set a goal, and that means set a date to whatever goal that you have. And once you do that, then you have to ask yourself, honestly, do I have the skills that I need to reach that goal? And if you don't, then that's the time to think about investing in some sort of education. But those three steps, being clear on your why, knowing exactly where you stand financially, and then setting a goal with a date as to when you want to reach that, that monetary financial goal, those are the first three steps.
Awesome. That's awesome. With that, so that's what probably a client, what the best suggestion, if someone is concerned about their finances and concerned about kind of where their business is going, or they just feel like they're not quite in the place where they want to be, because there's not everybody is, you know, feeling like, oh, I got to make some money or whatever. But I would like to see my finances grow and my business grow, and then kind of set some sort of goal. I'm assuming those three steps are really before they come to you. And now I know that you have a program called Financial Foundations, and it's a six week program, correct?
It is. And my clients don't necessarily have those three things
Okay.
set and ready before they come to me. Yes.
Gotcha. So with this, if I'm coming to you, or somebody that is listening is coming to you as a client, what are some of the steps that you take a client through in that 6 week program?
Yeah. So the first step is mindset. We really have to expand your way of thinking when it comes to money, and that will allow you to invite opportunities, abundance, law of attraction. If those are tools that you have in your toolkit, we need to expand your way of thinking so that you can start really utilizing those tools that you've cultivated over these probably last few years. When we do that, we're also going to release some emotional baggage that you have attached to money that you're probably not even aware that is there, that is keeping you from paying down debt, increasing your earnings. And then once we work through the mindset and the emotional piece, then we go into the practical applications of how do you organize your finances? Which tools are best to track your personal finances, which tool is best for you to track your accounting, and how, as an entrepreneur, do you use your accounting to make decisions throughout the year, not just when you're filing taxes, but to actually check in and see, is it time for me to hire a virtual assistant? Or is it time for me to increase my pricing for this program or this offer that I have? Or should I launch a new program or offering, and what should that price point be? So that's what we walk through throughout the six-week program. And the ultimate goal is to help you add $10,000 or more to your savings account.
I love that. I love that because you hear a lot of people who are like, I can turn you from, selling this much to selling, a $10,000 in sales, but that doesn't add to your bottom line, right? It doesn't, just because you have a $10,000 month doesn't mean that your business is actually growing. It could mean that your business is actually not growing if you're spending more on building your programs and advertising and all of that. So you kind of talked about mindset, and I think mindset is a big thing when you're really trying to grow in any form of your life, whether that's your health, whether that's your fitness, whether that is your business. And so I know a lot of people talk about the law of attraction. You kind of mentioned it in your last answer. What is your philosophy when it comes to attracting money?
I love this question. And my philosophy is that it's twofold. You need the mindset and you also need the skill set. Another way of putting that is you need the magical side. So law of attraction, abundance, tools that you've cultivated, that's magic, right? And then you also need the practical tools. We're here on planet Earth. How do you transmute that law of attraction, those abundance tools that you have into actually creating something here on planet Earth? And so what that looks like is, for me, for manifestation, you have to be really clear on your intention. What is your ultimate financial goal? Let's say for 2017, for the month of January, what is your ultimate goal? Set some intention to that. Be open to receiving. That's how law of attraction and abundance best works, when we're open to receiving. And then you need to back that up with some skills. And those skills include financial education, includes knowing how to reach out to prospective clients, how to find those clients, how to engage those clients. You'll need that skill set in order to make that magic happen.
Which do you think, Denita, is something that clients struggle with most? Which is there one of the sides that you see that clients that come to you struggle with, the mindset part or the skill set part? Is one of those not more important? Because I think what you're saying with your answer is they're equal, but is there usually one that people struggle with more than the other?
This is a great question. They're both equally important. The people I tend to attract, the ones that I tend to work with, have law of attraction, manifestation, abundance down pat. Like if they want something, if they want a red car, I'm looking at a red car out the window right now. If they picture that in their mind, they're going to make that happen. Either someone's going to give it to them for free, or they're going to be able to, it just appears in their life, right? But they aren't able to make that a consistent happening in their life. And that's because they lack the skill set. And oftentimes the people that come to me are amazing manifestors. They're really great at law of attraction, abundance. They have those tools. However, they've been avoiding money, which means that they're living in limbo, which is where inconsistent income comes into play. That's when you start attracting unexpected bills out of the blue. It's when you aren't grounded in financial education, in money, on here on planet Earth. That's when those things start to pop up in your life.
Awesome. Awesome. And I think that's a really good point. Like people a lot, and I think that's who my audience is. So I'm sure a lot of the people that are listening right now are the people who they understand the law of attraction. They get it, but we don't always apply it. Just because you know how to do something doesn't mean that you apply it. And so I love how you're incorporating a skill set that also helps you apply it so that you can get the outcome that they're wanting. With manifesting money, like, let's debunk this, because I think some people are like, there are going to be some people on here that are going to listen and be like, you are crazy. There's no way that I would ever get a red. No one's going to give me a red Ferrari. Like, it's not going to happen. What is the real deal with manifest? I mean, cause you know, there's some people who are like, you're being woo woo right now. What is the real deal with behind manifesting money?
Yeah. This is a great question. So if you don't believe in manifestation, then it isn't real, right? That's usually my answer. If it's something that you're like, Denisa, I kind of see what you're saying, but I really don't know what that means, I would invite you to reflect on your own life and think about a time when you didn't think something was going to happen. You had no idea how this was going to work. And when you look back on it, everything worked out, and it probably worked out better than you thought it would have. You accidentally were using manifestation, law of attraction, abundance tools. Now, when you start putting intention behind it, that's when things really start to pop off and you can really play with that. For those of you that are thinking I'm a little woo-woo right now, so here's some practical steps that you can take. Write down your goal for January, okay? We're almost at the end of January, so if you want to make it February, whatever your income goal is as an entrepreneur, write that down. Then figure out how many clients, you know, look at your service offerings. What is the price? Say you want to make $10,000 in the month of February, and you've got a package that you sell for $2,000. So you need 5 clients to do that. Focus on finding those 5 clients. And what you can do is set a goal each day to reach out to 5 prospective people. If you do that every day during the month of February, say it's only 20 days you do that, you'll reach out to 100 people. Law of numbers, which is a more practical approach, you'll hit those 5 people. Now, there is a skill set that you need to develop in terms of reaching out to them and making sure your messaging is on point. But yes, if you set an intention, write it down, your financial goal, figure out how many clients you need to hit that goal, then determine how many people you need to reach each day to give yourself a fighting chance to hit that. That's your way of utilizing the more practical side of manifestation.
Yeah, and I think anybody would agree with you when it comes to manifesting something. You can't just say it in your brain. You even have to say it out loud, because things don't happen. So I love that you're saying write it down, because it makes it tangible. It makes it real. And it also, like you said, after you write that down, you also then think about how would this come to be? Like, how many clients would I need? How many calls would I need? How many times am I going to have to hear the answer no to my call? And how am I going to make this goal achievable? So I love that, you know, guys, manifesting isn't just woo-woo. There is also a practical side that just makes sense, if you know what I'm saying, people. So what is something that people assume is in their best financial in their best interest for their financial situation? What is something that might be a misconception that people assume is right, they're doing right, that you run into?
Yes. So this is a great question. A lot of people assume 2 things: that they're the only ones that are struggling with money. Even people that quote unquote make a lot of money are also, they also come against situations that are challenging when it comes to finances. So you're not alone. And I want to say that, because oftentimes if you're in a space where you feel like you're struggling with money, or you are struggling with money, you tend to isolate. And that's the worst thing that you can do. The best thing is to actually share that with those around you, get into a community with other like-minded people who are also striving to become financially well off. Talk about it so that you're not alone. The second thing that I hear, a misconception that I hear, is focusing on paying off debt first. And while that makes sense in terms of, you know, you don't want to have this monkey on your back, so to speak, while you're focusing on paying off debt, you're also, for those of you that are, you know, emotionally intuitive, that creates a sense of resentment. Every time you bring in a new client or bring in more money, if your subconscious knows that it's going to pay off your credit card debt or just going off to pay off your student loan debt, you start to resent it because none of that money is actually going back and nourishing you. It's not going into spending time with friends or going out to happy hour or treating yourself to a mani-pedi or working with a therapist even. That's a form of self-love. So you want to make sure that if you are paying off debt, continue to do that. However, also be very diligent about saving money and also treating yourself each and every time you bring in new money.
So we just had someone ask, type that in again on Periscope. I'm sorry I missed it, Angela. I apologize. So with that, do you think that people isolate themselves because the money conversation can be taboo? Or there's another theory that I have, maybe when it comes to, like, we're all about displaying our lives, right, on social media. Like, I want to take the best photo. I want to put it on Instagram. I want people to see how amazing my life is. So life casting or whatever on social media. Do you think that that adds to some of this reason that we kind of hide our financial woes or our goals because it's not, like, exciting on social media?
Yeah, you know, I think it's twofold. I, for one, am all about showing positivity on social media. I prefer to scroll through my Facebook feed and just read things that uplift me because I can easily turn on the news and be brought back to reality about what's actually happening in the world. So I am also one that likes to show positive. I choose to post only positive things on my social media for that reason. It's not necessarily because I'm trying to hide aspects of my life. It's more that there's a lot of bad, quote unquote, bad things out there that can depress you. So I want to be part of the upliftment. So there's that. I can understand that if you're not someone that wants to post, you know, the woes that you're going through because you don't want to bring people down that are around you. I think really, though, when it comes to money, it is taboo. And whether if you make a lot of money, there's a negative perception about those people. You know, rich people are bad or rich people are greedy. So if you are doing well, you may hide it because of that perception. Or if you are someone that is struggling with paying off debt or bills, that can be embarrassing. You may feel like you should be further ahead at whatever age you are. And so, yeah, I think both of those reasons could be why people don't share. You know, it's money is so related. It's so similar to sex, right? If we're struggling with enjoying having sex with our partner, that's not necessarily something we feel comfortable sharing with friends, family, Facebook. So I understand why you may want to keep some of that private. At the same time, isolating yourself, there are people that can help you. And there's also power in knowing that you're not alone. So the more you can reach out to people that you know care about you, I'm not saying you have to post it on Facebook or a public forum, but share it with people that are close to you, ideally someone that can help you as well so that you don't have to do this alone and you can also get the support that you need to get out of it.
Absolutely. So with that, guys, if you're listening live on the radio, if you do have any questions, please feel free to give us a call in 646-716-7979. And that's 646-716-7979. Also remember, guys, that Denitha is providing you guys with a with free access to a 30-minute training on how to pay debt down faster. But she also talks about not, like she said, not just paying down debt, but also enjoying life at the same time so you don't have that feeling of resentment. So head over to www.moneyisenergy.denithadoe.com to gain free access to your 30-minute training. Periscope, I'm going to put this out on Twitter, Facebook. I'll post it on Facebook so you guys have that clickable link as well. So it's easy to access, and it'll be posted obviously for all of you that are listening on radio on the replay as well, so that you guys can see that. So here's another question that we got from Angela on Periscope. Is not trusting anyone to assist with more money or other issues of do you think that's a self-control problem? Do you think trusting people kind of goes along with financial issues, I think is what she's trying to ask. And does that relate, like kind of a self-control thing?
That's a great question. So I'm assuming, Angela, that you're saying if you're you may be in a place where you're not trusting other people to help you. And yes, money... The more open you can be in any aspect of your life, if maybe a good analogy is relationships. So if you're someone that's single and you're single and ready to mingle, you know, you're looking for your partner. If you have a closed heart, if you think that every guy out there, every woman out there is out to get you, is going to cheat on you, is going to break your heart, you know, how likely are you going to attract someone or meet someone, or actually when you do meet someone, have a good conversation with that person that isn't going to hurt you, that honestly and genuinely wants to get to know you and be a support to you? The same thing goes with money. So if you're walking around thinking that any financial advisor, any CPA or accountant or any financial coach is just greedy and out to just take my money and not help you, then yeah, you're not going to put yourself in a position to get the support that you need.
Awesome. Awesome. And yes, she was saying, yes, I'm single. Yes. So you were hitting the nail on the head. Perfect. Great answer. So now we're kind of going to that. She says, good answer. Angela does. So awesome. Perfect. I love this like live streaming. It's an awesome thing because you're like, okay, perfect. So why does it seem to be such a disconnect with women and money? Again, it's a wide generalization because I know that there are men that have disconnect from money. But, you know, we hear about lower wages with money, negative associations with purpose that are money driven. Why do women shy away from establishing themselves as wanting money? Do you know what I'm saying with that? Kind of?
Oh, yes. And I love this question. So first of all, ladies, let's give ourselves a break. It's only been in recent human history that we've been in a position where we can attain financial independence, okay? So really starting with, really since the feminist movement, let's say, if we want to take it back a little bit further, the 40s, that was really when we were able to start this path of generating wealth on our own terms. And if you can think about it, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, there really weren't a lot of opportunities still for us to do what we want to do and to create a life of financial independence for ourselves. So we've had less than 100 years to kind of figure all this out for ourselves. Let's give ourselves, you know, a break. And so that's part of the reason, Katie. We just haven't had enough time to do this. And the other piece to this is while we weren't a part of the system, the financial system, if you will, the system has been created by people that aren't like us. So as women, generally speaking, this isn't every woman out there, but generally speaking, we love collaboration. We love community. We love to know that we aren't just supporting ourselves financially, but that we're also able to help someone else while doing that. And so all of those purpose-driven traits haven't been embedded in the financial system up to this point because we weren't a part of the financial system up until this point. And so our examples of people that have created wealth for themselves really don't reflect what we want wealth to look like for us. Some of us, you know, owning a lot of real estate may not be your goal. It may be that you want to feel comfortable, more than comfortable, with whatever you've generated income-wise, but then you want to spend most of your time giving back through a nonprofit. And there are a lot of examples of that for you to look up to. So there's that disconnect. You know, women, we aren't seeing us reflected in other rich, quote-unquote, people. And for women, what I've found, and the reason why I have Financial Foundations, my program, is because there is a group component to it. And I found with women, we need community. We need to rely on friend power, not willpower, to get us to our goals. And so that's the other piece. There's not enough women talking about money. There aren't enough spaces where women can say, hey, this is what I've earned this month, or this is how much debt I'm trying to pay off, or this is what I want to start investing in. There aren't enough spaces for women to do that. And because of that lack of community, until we fix that, there is going to continue to be a disconnect for women and money.
Okay, we got another question. Thoughts on compartmentalizing income, either hiding it back, saving it up, spending it, I think is what he said. Those fast comments roll so fast. How do you feel about, like, compartmentalizing income?
Yeah, so as an entrepreneur, my rule of thumb that I share is the 60-20-20 rule. So you want 60% of your revenue from the business to go towards fixed expenses. So that includes, you know, if you have a virtual assistant, paying your virtual assistant. If you got a website, you got to pay your website, hosting fee, anything to keep the lights on, that should be in that 60% bucket. That 60% also includes how much you should withhold for taxes. And generally speaking, I recommend holding 30%, so half of that 60% for taxes. The next 20% should be used for anything growth related. So investing in Facebook ads for marketing, investing in working with a marketing strategist, or other things that you want to do to really grow the business. And then the last 20%, that's a combination of paying yourself your own salary and then also savings for the business.
Oh, perfect, perfect, perfect. Guys, thank you. That was a great question. Not something I would have thought about. Not gonna lie. So I hear this a lot in my business. And I think part of it is because I help people. That's what I do. And that's really at the root of what you do, is you help female entrepreneurs gain the life that they want, which is exactly what I do. But I feel like as women, how do we kind of get away from that and make it more, I mean, you said kind of give yourself a break. You know, we haven't been in straighten this out. We haven't had the opportunities to do this as much for as long as men have. But how do we kind of get away from always feeling like we have to help other people? Does that make sense? And saying, you know, this is my financial goal, and it's okay to state that.
Yes, yes. And not giving away your services for free or undercharging. And
right.
Yes. So it's okay to hold on to that mindset of I'm here to help people. At the core of what I do, I'm here to serve people. You're here to serve people, Katie, and really help them step into their best selves. When you discount your services, when you give away your services for free, let's take you out of the picture for right now, Katie. When you give away your services for free or discount your services and you say to that other woman that you're helping, hey, you know what? My price is usually $2,000, for instance, but I'll only charge you $500. You are not allowing that woman to step into her best self, because what you're telling her is, I know you'll never be able to make my payment, so I'm just going to treat you like a little kid and give you this toy just to play with. That's essentially what you're doing to that woman. You're crippling her ability to really step up and to challenge herself to get to that next step in her life. And so if for those of you that are listening that are coaches, you're in the service industry, you're here to help people, it's not just about you charging your price to reach your financial goal, because that might be hard for you to wrap your head around right now, because it may seem very self-serving. So if you want to flip that and think about the person that you're here to serve, you have to provide a container for them to step into their best selves. And the way to do that is to give them the opportunity to put money to it. Whenever we put money to something, a healthy amount of money to something, we take it more seriously. We put our all into it. So focus on allowing your client to step into their best selves by charging a price that will challenge them to take their life to that next step.
Yeah. And I've always kind of, I've heard that saying, you know, like if we invest, we're more apt to do it. I mean, when you go out and you pay a membership at the gym, they're hoping that you don't show up. And a lot of people don't. But what holds some people accountable is they shelled out X amount of money to come to the gym. So they're going to do it because this kind of hurt my wallet. And really, that's why I feel that higher gym memberships are more effective in people losing weight, because you're like, dang, I paid that $1,000 instead of that $10 a month. I'm going to go do it. So I love that you said that, but I never thought about it as you're kind of holding back when you discount your services, or when you, when you say it's not just you that it's affecting, it's actually them. And I would have never thought about it that way. So thank you for that.
Yes, absolutely. And that the gym example is a great example. Yes, I'm sure all of us have been guilty of paying for a membership and then not using the gym. But if you pay to work with a personal trainer, that's an additional level of accountability, and it's an additional investment that you're making to work with someone more closely. So that's the same thing, you know, for those of you in the coaching space, that when you give the person the opportunity to invest more financially, but also to work with you in a more intimate level than just, you know, a blanket gym membership, then it really allows them to step up.
Absolutely. So we had another question on, Periscope, and it's kind of in regards to this whole like equal pay for men and women type of thing. What do you feel about sharing income? I know a lot of entrepreneurs, I actually got into the entrepreneurship space because I started with a small business, and the owner, she's very conservative and she would not share any of that information. But I also came from traditional retail where we knew exactly what we did last year because we had to beat it by X amount this year. So, and we were also not allowed to share what we made with other employees. So where do you, I guess that was kind of the question. How do you feel about sharing income? Is it necessary with that group of people that's going to support you? What do you think?
Yeah, this is a great question. Honestly, I can see both sides. For me, what I've found to work best for me is transparency. So when with team members, I feel if you want them to be really invested in the company, you want to share, you know, where your company is now financially, where you want it to be a year from now, 2 years from now, just so that they feel that they really are a part of your creation. And when it comes to if you're an employee and you have a salary, I think it's great to share what each of you are making, because that's the only way you'll know if you are earning what you could be earning or if you're not earning what you could be earning, is by sharing it. And this is one of the reasons why women earn 77 cents on the dollar, because we don't share this information with each other. And so I believe that it's important to be transparent and to share that information with people that you trust and know you and have your best interests at heart.
Okay, so the question is again, or now, how do you use that info? So let's say you are around people who are willing to share that information with you. So when you kind of collect that, how do you use that info or information to advance, I guess, your salary or advance what you're making or analyze that?
Yeah, so I'll talk about it from an entrepreneurial perspective. So
sure.
I'm in a mastermind with other accountants, and we share what our rates are and how we structure our programs and what our pricing is for those programs. And how I use that information is just to get a pulse of what the market is open to. That's not to say that I am going to reduce my price or even increase my price just because someone else is charging that or not charging that. It's really just so I am informed about what others are doing. And that information is powerful. It's useful if you do want to change your pricing, absolutely, but also just to be aware of what's happening.
Absolutely. And I think that was the one thing. I think she was coming from more of a traditional standpoint. And I think as we get more millennials and more younger blood in the entrepreneurship world, I think you see a lot more people who are willing to collaborate and willing to give that information. Because like you said, information is power, and ultimately it will help you make more educated decisions. Whether that changes what you're doing with your business or not, it just helps you stay informed and know the market. I love that. So in our conversation, I'm all about energy. Like, energy is the lifeblood of everything. Like, if you don't have energy, you don't have health. If you don't have energy, you don't have good relationships. If you don't have energy, you're not going to have money. So we kind of talked about that a little bit. You said that you do believe that money is energy. Do you believe that we all have a positive energy towards money or a negative one? And how can we train that energy?
Yes, I absolutely believe money is energy. And I believe that we all start off with a fully 100% positive energy towards money. You know, money, if you think about it as a kid, like, no one knew what that was. I remember as a kid, I just loved coins because they were sparkly and shiny. So we all had a positive association with money. And then as we grow up and experience money from our parents, we start to develop negative associations with money. And I'll give a personal example. I remember when I was 6 years old, and my mom and I were walking. We lived in an apartment complex, and we were walking back from the mailbox to our apartment. And one of the groundskeepers, so one of the maintenance guys who was doing the lawn in the apartment, he waved at me, you know, "Hi, little girl," and pulled out a crisp dollar bill out of his wallet and just gave it to me. And as a 6-year-old, I'm just like, ooh, like I kind of knew what money was. I knew I could buy a sundae with that. So I gladly took the dollar bill from him. And my mom slapped my hand and said, "No, you don't take money from strangers." Now, my mom, she had good intentions with saying that, you know, you don't necessarily want to take money from strangers. But what I embodied after that experience was thinking, oh, money isn't something I can get from strangers. And also, money shouldn't come to me easily. Now, if you think about that as an entrepreneur, those two things are very detrimental when you're trying to run a business, taking money from strangers and accepting it easily. So those are some negative things that I had to work through to let go of, you know, things that were imprinted on me. So as we grow up as adults, we do, you know, take on negative imprints from our family and other situations in our life as it relates to money. And I found that now as adults, we have a mixed bag when it comes to money. So what I would invite you to do, if you're someone that's, you're open to energy and seeing money as energy, anytime you have an interaction with money, maybe you're out to dinner with a group of friends and the bill comes, check in with yourself. What feelings pop up? Is there a sense of dread, anxiety? Is there embarrassment that pops up? You know, if you're in a relationship and you start talking about bills with your partner, check in. What feelings bubble up inside of you? And get curious about it. And if you're into journaling, you know, write those down. But just start checking in, noticing what feelings arise when situations around money come up in your life.
I love that you said that, because that's something that I've really tried to work with some of my recent clients with, but it's also something that I have to work with myself with as well. Being mindful, not just with money, but with a lot of things. But it sounds like mindfulness is so important in this situation, because if you don't ever address the feelings that are coming through during that interaction with money, you're never going to be able to solve the cycle of energy that you've been in with money, is from what I've had with my experience with energy. You know, if you're never able to identify what's going on in your brain and how you're feeling, you can never change the direction that you're going in, because you're kind of stuck, right?
Exactly. And you hit the nail on the head, Katie. You know, money, mindfulness is a practice that we should all be doing in every instance of our life, right? Ideally. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't mindful with how you do one thing is how you do everything. So if you are not mindful when it comes to money, that will seep into other areas of your life. Not being mindful with your relationships, not being mindful with your body, not being mindful of your energy level. So every opportunity you have to check in and really see, hey, how am I feeling right now? And how might this impact me now and later on in my life is really important.
Oh my God. Like, I just, like, why is, I would just really want to hug you right now, because you just really, I love that point. How you do one thing is how you do everything. Y'all, if you have a pen and a pencil or and some paper, your phone, whatever, type this, remember this. How you do one thing in your life is how you do everything. I love the example of exercise. When you are doing a workout, if you quit, you know, with 5 minutes to go, that is going to reflect in everything else you do in your life. When the going gets tough, if you decide I don't need to do anymore, it's going to be reflected. So I love that you just said that. That's awesome.
I love that example that you just gave too. Do you quit just before you get to the finish line? How is that going to impact you as an entrepreneur? Greatly. So yes, when you're on the treadmill, or when you're, you know, if you're weightlifting and you cut out on that last set, that is a reflection of how you've been approaching other areas of your life. Absolutely.
And a funny story, when I went back to the university to get my exercise science degree, we were doing these tests. We were actually like graphing and I had to do a test where you get on a treadmill and they put a mask over your face and they depict your oxygen consumption. So essentially it's a really painful test, because you basically have to run and then they up the intensity and up the speed over a consistent basis, and you have to go until you're essentially about ready to pass out. So it's not a comfortable thing to do. And there was one guy who just had the most amazing mental fortitude. And I just allowed myself, you know, I just don't mentally, I know physically I could probably go a little more, but mentally, like, I just don't have the same mental fortitude as this guy. And then I realized, like, that was how my whole life was. And I was like, no, I can't let this happen. And so I love that you look at that with finances, guys. If your finances aren't where you want them to be, or your business is not in the right financial order that you want it to be, that's going to reflect into everything else. And that's, Denitha, that is what I love about you so much. You understand that. You're not just about making a good profit loss statement and making sure that you're growing savings and paying off debt. You understand that this is life. And I love, love, love that. I'm so in love with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Katie. It is a very big part of our life. And I know Angela, she just popped into my head again. For those women that are single, I challenge you to really look at your finances, because oftentimes if you find yourself not happy in terms of your romantic relationships or lack thereof, usually it's also related to your finances, either avoiding it or pushing it under the rug. I want you to invite you to look at that too, because yes, everything, like you said, Katie, is connected.
Absolutely. Totally, 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 totally. You guys, this has been an awesome show. Listen to the replay, catch the replay on this, and grab a notebook, because there, I have notes everywhere. And I'm even going to listen to the replay because I feel like I was trying to do multitask so much that I didn't really truly absorb. This is one you guys need to listen to again. So remember, guys, 30 minutes of training, free access. Like, this is huge. This could change your life, people. This could change your life. Go to this link, www.moneyisenergy.com. Thank you guys so much for joining in to Energy and Radiance Radio. Thank you, Denitha, for being my guest. I love you to death. If you guys want more information, send me a message or check out her website and we'll get you connected. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I love y'all. We'll talk to you guys soon.
I can do anything, I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want, I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.